Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Today, and welcome to the sixth episode of our relaunched podcast that we call Raw Talks. Raw Talks with Sarah and Simba and friends. And today we have Simba and friend with us. Mm-hmm. How about you introduce Lori to us? Simba, how do you know her?
Yeah, so Lori is my theory teacher and theory teacher trainer as well. And I kind of stumbled into one of your classes. I think it was, when you start to wonder how long it usually was a while ago. Could it be 4 years, maybe three and a half?
No, more.
Yeah,
yeah.
Around 4 years, stumbled into a class, and I was like, wow, this is a really cool tool. And I remember practicing it, and I came home, and I took all the notes, and I was like, now I know this tool. And I'm 4 years later, I'm still learning about this tool, about myself and grounding and the nervous system. And so, yeah, I started coming to classes because it felt it was very beneficial for me, this modality, and like the way you were teaching. And then you said, hey, I have a program. I was like, I might do that.
You came home and said, I'm doing that.
Oh, I forgot.
Maybe yeah, you were hooked from the get-go.
Yeah. And then once I was done becoming a provider, practitioner, I was kind of like, must be more to it, right? Feels like this can't be it. And then after a while, we started with the practitioner or teacher-trainer program, I would say, definitely. So I think that's kind of how we got to know each other. And I've been doing a lot of private sessions, of course. And, you know, I thought I knew what grounding was, and I felt that I was relaxed. And I met you, and I was like, there's more to it. So that's, you know, definitely a part of why we wanted you to have to come to this podcast and just share your passion and all the work you do with grounding, because definitely these times we do believe people need them. So welcome
Lori Ann.
Thank you.
So who are you, and tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Sure. Well, my story has been a bit about the fact that I think I'm Capricorn, that I'm very, very practical. And I really rationalize things, and I really take things on when I find something that I really like. So that's kind of been my story, I think, from the get-go for myself, working for government for 20 years, and then just really feeling like there's something deeper that I wanted to really explore with. And working in HR, I was always working around people, and strange things would happen when people were under stress. And I never really understood, and I knew there had to be a reason, but I just felt there were answers I wasn't really getting. And I really felt that traveling the world for many years would really help me understand different cultures, and that maybe the way I saw something is only the way that I know. Maybe there's other ways. I had been traveling for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, but I really wanted to stay long. So that's what I did. And just before I left, I was actually taught this tool that Simba was just talking about, TRE, Tension or Trauma Releasing Exercises, 2 days before I left on a year of travel that I decided I needed. So I ended up doing my own TRE during that entire year that I traveled. So being in completely different environment, plus releasing years and years of built up cortisol, adrenaline that I had in my system, really changed things. So I ended up becoming a provider of TRE because I just saw the results. And I was introduced to grounding by my really great trainer, Joan McDonald. And it just made so much sense. It was like it was answering so much truth. And it was really speaking to something I think I knew, but I didn't know. And so that's really become my passion. Now, being a TRE trainer, I've really made that a big part of my training program, because I feel it's really at the core of everything, and I see what it's doing for me in my life. And, you know, I just feel that it's at the core of all who we are, our relationships, our work, our happiness. Everything really starts there. So that's who I am. I'm just a walking example, perhaps, of, you know, just really taking grounding very seriously.
Yeah. I have a question. So TRE, I mean, there's so many TRE teacher trainers and providers out there. And what I understood from Simba is that, so I'm also a TRE provider and trained by you, same as Simba. But what I learned, or this is my question, is not everyone teaches TRE exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, not everyone is specializing so much around grounding as you do. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's natural. Like, I think probably in every practice that's the case, right? Because we learn kind of a tool, and then we bring our own styles and maybe what worked best for us to our program and to our clients. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but it's natural also that Simba now is also teaching a lot about the grounding. So, and yeah, I mean, grounding is one of the main things that we work with here at Living with the Spirit, and the, of course, the retreat space. I mean, creating a safe space for people to ground, because it's, for us, it's the root of the healing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And I think in your environment that you're in, you know, just that, not only that you're in on a farm, you're in the country, you're surrounded by trees, and you have your pond, and you have everything there. But having all of those things around you is only one thing.
Yeah.
But you really stressing on the grounding and really helping people experience for themselves what is grounding. Because we can spend all kinds of time, you know, in the country, or even in meditation for all that matters.
Yeah.
But if we don't understand our nervous system, and we don't feel safe within ourselves and connected within ourselves, then we're not going to benefit as much from, you know, being in nature or being or doing any tool, not only TRE. So I think it's really fabulous that I think that makes your center very, very unique. Very unique. It feels like this grounding and self-regulation, and really taking it in, not only talking about it or having a knowledge of it, but really experiencing it within. Like, it feels like we're really at the bottom of a big curve here. It feels like the world is just beginning, you know, to really get what this is. I think COVID really helped that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fantastic. Have this center, you know, that really focuses on this in an environment that is so grounding to begin with.
Do you feel like it's becoming, like, the awareness is higher in the around the word grounding and the knowledge, or I like the interest in around the nervous system?
Yes, definitely. I think people are starting to recognize the importance of grounding in terms of having space to actually make the change that we want in our lives, rather than using a self-defense mechanism over and over again, which really prevents us from really changing. So then we're going at things from the same place, although we have new knowledge, but it really feels like people really want change now. And I really do feel that the period of time we've just been through, it's happening. It's almost like maybe COVID is more of a physical representation of what we were experiencing already. which is really, you know, not very connected to who we really are and really strongly identified with social conditioning of feeling not enough and pushing and just not really listening to ourselves. I'm seeing more and more things on YouTube about regulation. I just saw something today. I can't remember. It was some big organization, and they have an upcoming course called Self-Regulation. And so, yes, I feel in the last year or two, it's definitely becoming of more interest. And I think people are experiencing pieces of it more and more because there's more and more people doing it, which is, I think, the way anything is introduced, right? You have your first group that kind of, you know, start, and now the trickling is beginning. But I still think we're at the very beginning of really, you know, spreading the awareness. Yes.
Very, very interesting.
Yes.
How would you describe grounding if someone is not like, because there's so many expressions like earthing, does that mean I walk barefoot, or yoga, is it meditation? Like what is it that's so specific about grounding, and what does it really mean when you talk about it? I know, same for listeners.
Yes. For me, it continues to change and it continues to evolve. You know, when you talked about Simba, when you first came to learn TRE, you felt you were quite grounded, and then you realized, oh, there's more and more and more levels. And I think that's a big sign of grounding, is really to recognize there's no end to anything. You know, it just kind of continues. So mine continues to evolve. But as it is now, I would describe it as having enough space and safety within myself to recognize how outside stimuli or any external event is not me, that it's not my truth. My grounding is really helping me recognize and get reintroduced to my original self, who I was before I was given a name and a gender and culture beliefs and expectations and concepts and all of this. So it's, for me, it's really helped me be clear on what's original to me and what is not, and to recognize when I am completely identified to a belief or a concept or an identity, an image that is not me. And to just, it's almost like a small shift of focus that happens within me, to just kind of, I'd say, log out. So to me, that's really what it is. Looking at it from the nervous system perspective, I think it's really having the safety and the connection within to recognize my earliest signs possible that I'm starting to get stressed, so I can already start to help myself. And most importantly, to recognize that there's a choice to help myself. Until we are grounded, or introduced to deeper levels of grounding, I think that we think life just happens to us and we don't have any choice. And in some cases we don't, but certainly grounding for me helps me recognize where I do have a choice and gives me the space to make a choice rather than push through something or just hop into a normal defense mechanism that keeps me locked in the same loop and continuing to create things that I don't really want in my life.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That was what I was thinking, that it's the way to let go of all the things that you don't want in your life. Mm-hmm. It's like the grounding is what's going to help you. It's what's going to make it fall off. It's like the stickiness is the activation. It's like the stickiness to the thing that we keep repeating in our lives that makes us unhappy.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I mean, like,
you need to do other things, but
yeah, and I think it allows us to take in and benefit from other practices that because all practices are useful, and of course some are more useful. Some people people than others, but it certainly helps us not do a new practice from the same place that we do life, I always say. So if I do many, let's say I go at things very seriously and I push myself and I don't listen to my body, if I'm not really taking the time to really feel and experience more grounding, I'm going to go after all those practices from that same place. So there's not really the space to really, you know, allow it to show us the effect. And I think in the end, probably all the practices we do are for the same end result of returning or rediscovering, recognizing who we really are after having been told and just socially conditioned, nothing wrong with it, but it's just the way it is, of who we're supposed to be and what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. And I think it also allows us to let things be versus let them go, doesn't it? Like, it just allows us to let it be here and not log in and just recognize that it's still part of us, but doesn't have to change our approach to things. It can just be here and not have so much impact or influence on us anymore.
Yeah, definitely. That was a big one as I started working with it, like you mentioned, that you come in with one certain level of awareness, what it means for you, and you might have some kind of experience to it, both practical and intellectual, but to really experience it on a deep level, that's really, yeah, I think that was really the main thing for me that you mentioned, that I don't have to let this go. I don't have to do this. I don't have to push. I can just sit with this and watch it change. Because maybe that is what's holding on to it. That I think I have to do something with everything all the time. Right? I can just like start to observe it and then notice, wow, it was never stuck in the first place. It was just something that entered my sphere, and maybe I hold on to it or identified with it or had a great relationship to it.
Yes. Yeah, we're so socially conditioned to do things that if we're not doing something, we're just going to shrivel up and die. But I think, you know, we're really learning, aren't we, that, wow, life kind of takes care of life in some cases, but we never give it a chance to do so because we're always so busy, you know, planning the next moment and trying to figure things out, rather than, like you're saying, Simba, really just sitting and watching this be here. I think that's very transformative. But of course, our conditioning, it really, you know, we're conditioned to think that things have to be so big, that it must be this big event transcending something. But it might just be being able to hold space inside of ourselves while this, you know, strong emotion or this strong automatic defense mechanism that wants to come on and blame someone or take responsibility for something. It's very subtle sometimes, isn't it?
And it feels like it kind of looks a little bit different today, like sure, there are people that are living in danger that they can kind of get that fight and flight response when you're not feeling safe, right? But it feels like a lot of it is more of a, I know we have discussed about it a lot, but that the people's identity are feeling threatened, and your beliefs and preferences and politics and religion and such. And it feels like people are like the nervous system still responds the same way as if a tiger were to be there, right? And yeah, I feel like there's kind of like a discrepancy there between putting the understanding that, okay, this my body will respond equally to my ego self being threatened as my physical body being threatened. And that's something that I kind of see a lot. In people that, that they don't really know how to kind of discern that, you know, that you might experience it the same way. I mean, we talked about that not too long ago. You were kind of explaining it to me. And it's like, yeah, that's the same thing, right? If you are in physical danger, you believe you're in danger, you kind of will have more or less the same response to it. What would you say is a way for someone to kind of start noticing that, right? That this is something I'm experiencing. I may not be in an actual danger. What would be like a go-to to start exploring that for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think first is just starting to recognize how one experiences stress or feeling stressed, because that's going to speak to people. So wherever that is, for some people, it might be not until, you know, we're very, very stressed, like in rage. And some of us, it might just be, oh, my shoulder's really tight. It doesn't matter. Wherever somebody is and however they're noticing, that whenever they're in the situation, just to start taking one breath before doing anything. I think that's a wonderful way to start, because it's a simple way to start to create a bit of space, because those neurons, they're so used to firing in the same direction that every time this certain trigger happens, so my boss's voice raises or my partner gets silent, like whatever it is, whenever that happens, I get just a breath and take a second. A second can seem long when those neurons are used to firing, boom, in far less than a second. And then one starts to notice a little earlier, I think, from there. Okay, last time I recognized it when I was in full rage, but maybe a little sooner than that. And I think that's a good way just to create that space. Mm-hmm. Just as a very simple place to start.
How would you say grounding can help people that might not work in this capacity, that they're, I mean, you're always going to be working with people, I guess, in one form or another. Mm-hmm. How would you say grounding can help someone that's not a yoga instructor or therapist or that does hands-on work like that with other people? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think most of the times that we run into an issue, either with relationships or at work or at finances, all those main ones that are not going to go away, those are just things we have to live with no matter what kind of work we're doing. And if somebody really sits down and looks at what are the things that tend to stress me, it pretty much comes down to those three main categories. So no matter what field we're in, we're dealing with those things. And so the more that we ground, and by grounding again, we just mean just, you know, recognizing when am I reacting out of something that I'm identified with that's not really who I am. It's just something maybe my parents watch my grandparents do, and I watch my parents do, and now I'm doing it. And now my kids are going to do it because I act out this way. Right? So if we really start to recognize when that activation is coming up and I'm about to do that same defense mechanism of getting really quiet, going inward, or if it's becoming very pleasing and just not doing anything about it, or if it's taking responsibility or feeling guilty or feeling shame or going to substances or eating, or just kind of giving up on myself or feeling withdrawn. It's all the same. It doesn't matter how it's expressed. You're going to start having space to recognize in the moment of that trigger happening, to take that breath and just start to, it's almost like stopping a speed train when those neurons come. So like in that moment of just taking a breath, you're kind of stopping that speed train, or at least slowing it down so that eventually it can go in another direction. So that means when I'm in my relationships or my finances are becoming, you know, worrisome, or at work, I'm just going to be able to deal with things much better. And because I'm feeling safer within myself, what others are saying around me are not going to affect me as much. So if I'm not very grounded, which means I have a lot of cortisol, adrenaline in my system, and I'm either feeling really shut down and I can't feel much, or I'm so activated that I'm speaking very quickly, I'm thinking very quickly, I'm moving very quickly, and I can't really feel anything also, then when I'm trying to deal with things, of course I'm going to react very quickly. There's no space within myself. So I can use examples also of people who we've been doing grounding with, and you guys included, and me, everybody included, you know, just relationships with partners. I have a trainee now who's just left me a message, and, you know, he's amazed at what's happening, because he's not coming from things so high energy that he has space to listen. And I often use kind of the analogy of two hands that are even. If the energy of someone is really high, and our energy, we go meet somebody from a really activated place, there's not going to be a resolution. But if we're grounded more within ourselves, we have that safe space within ourselves, then it's much more likely that whoever we're dealing with at work or at home or our, you know, in our finances, that is going to change. Because there's now space for that. We can feel each other's energy, right, when it's activated. So I think this can help anybody and everybody, no matter what field we're in. But certainly if we're in the field of helping people, especially, it's going to help. But it's, we can say it's life-changing.
Yeah, I would say it's life-changing for anyone. It doesn't matter what your profession is at all, if you're like helping others or you're completely alone. Would you say that it's possible to reverse most kind of traumas with grounding and working through that with theory and different tools?
Yes, I would say it's not so much reversing, but just allowing it to be there without the charge, right? So just letting it be part of us, but having the space within us to recognize that that trauma pattern is coming into effect. It's like it's dormant in our system, isn't it? And then this one trigger happens, something we hear, see, smell, taste, feel, and then it becomes activated. So it's in that moment of activation, I believe that, yes, we can definitely, with grounding and becoming safer and more connected within, when the trauma gets, awakened again, that's the space we have then to just remember more who we truly are, and that we are not that trauma or that image or identity that we became in that trauma. And that eventually, when the trauma is triggered and becomes active again, it doesn't have much impact. If anything, I think we can start probably being more grateful for it, because if it wasn't for it, we wouldn't be at this place of really wanting to find that freedom, that safety within us. So I definitely think that we can all live feeling very, very free, but it's just a matter of choice and will to want to do it. And I think once that's there and we start to recognize our true selves underneath all of this, that just begins to blossom on its own. It's just that one original, either like experience of something that's happened. For me, nothing traumatic has ever really happened. It's just something I was born with. I've never waited for something to get really serious before doing something. We're all different. But either way, it's still a choice that has to be made. And I think once you make that choice, then that continues to blossom. It's not head work. we're all taught to use head work, but it's not head work. We can't figure this out. Then we're just adding on another layer of social conditioning.
Yeah.
So I believe that we all have that choice or that opportunity, yes.
Mm-hmm. More and more people that I work with mention that I keep looking for this big trauma in my life to kind of justify that I'm not doing very well. Mm-hmm. And many people are saying that, oh, I didn't understand that it doesn't have to be a big event. It can just be like a constant, something that they don't really understand is traumatic, because we're so socially conditioned with that it's normal to live without one parent, or like just not small stuff, but things that people are very used to. And if there wasn't like harmony in the home, but yeah, but nobody hit me, you know, it's like people are more traumatized than they understand, and waking up to the insight of, oh, it was my whole childhood that was the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's not, this doesn't have to be this massive event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the accumulation also. Mm-hmm. In TRE, we say that small T trauma is just getting overwhelmed to the point where you don't know what to do. And of course, we've all experienced that. That can, especially as a child, because we're so dependent on our parents. So, you know, I have a personal memory of falling off a slide at the park. We were camping, and my parents, for some reason, were not there. They were just gone for a few seconds to do something, but for some reason, I fell right at that time. So as an adult, something like that happened, you would understand. But as a child, you know, that is a form, yeah, a form of trauma. And of course, all of those smaller events all built up, because we keep everything in, don't we? We're really taught to keep everything in, plus, you know, to stop any release and to stay calm and all of this. So yes, definitely, it doesn't have to be one big event. And yeah, you're right, we also normalize it, don't we? We only know our childhood.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we don't realize till later, but regardless of what it is, and we're supposed to, that's the thing we need to remember too, we're supposed to have all of this come up and happen in order to really, that's where the decision to tap in more into our truth comes up. Without that, if we were that comfortable, I guess we would never really look to do anything to help ourselves, would we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you talk about finding your truth in grounding.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very interesting. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, I think because we are so identified by the social conditioning. So because as soon as we're born, like I was saying before, we're given a name, we're given a gender, we're given beliefs of the culture, of the religion our family might be, you know, following, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we really think that our thoughts and all of those ideas is who we are. So in the beginning, when we begin to ground and we begin to connect to maybe who has experienced all of this, which is our true self, it seems quite boring. It seems scary, because if I'm not all of those things, then who am I? But the grounding for me has really helped me rediscover. It's given me the space and the time not to jump into who Lori was supposed to be, and just kind of explore and even look within myself, like, who is wanting to react so quickly to this? Who is so offended? Because when things happen, they're just happening. It's the story we tie to what's happening that hurts us. So for me, that's what I mean by grounding, is returning to my truth, giving me space and the safety within me to really recognize that person that really wants to react, and that person who says I'm unhappy and happy and thinks I should have done that, but I did this instead, and that voice, you know, that can be so active, is not who I am. And the grounding helps me connect with the feelings we're all seeking, like freedom and joy and peace, happiness, without something outside of me having to change. So that's what I mean by grounding helps you return, or for my case, it helps me return to my truth without outside factors.
In spirituality, they often talk about your natural state of being is bliss. I never understood that. It's like that was a concept that I just couldn't grasp. Like, what do you mean? Like, where is it? Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
I want
it's
it.
Like, it's not here. I want it, but how do I do? It's like, yes. I don't know. What do you mean, my natural state? Maybe I was the one missing out. But then when I really, truly started to experience the feeling of being grounded, then I was like, oh, here it is. I found it. So what I usually explain to the people that I work with is that we're supposed to feel that good. For me, it's like I never mm-hmm. experienced it with, I mean, that's why I use so much food and drugs and alcohol and relationships, because I mean, who needs that when your natural state of being is bliss? Mm-hmm. So when I first started to feel it, I was like, oh yeah, this is it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would you say that our natural state of being should be bliss?
Yeah, well, I think when we're using words, we all have our own definitions, right? And I think that's why it's important to rediscover, because I think if we're looking for a particular thing in terms of a word, then we've got people, I think we're still thinking and trying to feel something, or trying to create what this bliss should be, or create what this freedom is. So I think just, remembering that we don't want to create more ideas of that it's really discovering through sense, through really sensing, like even coming from the mind and just feeling into the body and remembering we have a body already gets us down kind of out of our head. And I think that's how we can discover. But I think a lot of people's maybe example or definition or feeling of bliss is often when the nervous system is more in a what's called a dorsal vagal or a freeze state, which is very, very common. It's okay. But it means that opioids, right, are pumping in. And I think that's we don't know what we don't know. And so if we've never really felt the true grounding that you're, describing, and I've had to live most of my life kind of in a protective state, in a not feeling so much state, then it's very, of course, we will believe that that is grounding. So many times I think when we describe grounding and we're using words, people, depending where we've lived, we're going to have our own ideas. Yeah, of what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think TRE, like the grounding and the TRE together is, they're so amazing, because it's really what you said, just listening to it made me remember a lot of things, but we think we need to talk about what happened and I need to explain it. And to a certain degree you do, right? Someone to be reciprocated and someone listen and safe, I'm heard, I'm seen. But the main part that I learned from Thierry is really like, you don't really have to do that, right? You put your body into that state, whatever we call it, bliss or relaxation, or, and it will kind of do the work. And with that knowledge, right, then you can kind of navigate a little bit what's going on, where am I going, and so on. How did you get into Thierry, by the way? I think I asked you this before, but I just don't remember it right now.
Yes. Like you. I was invited to a session just before I left on a year of travel. And when I did it, that was it. I only did it one time, which is what we tell people not to do. You know, we really recommend to people, do it 4 or 5 times to learn. But I didn't have that opportunity because I was leaving to travel. Mm. So I just kept doing it on my own. And yeah, a lot of people have asked me that. What had you keep doing it after only doing it one time? Like, I only got a small taste of it, you know. But, and even because I was so controlling and it was so hard for me to let go, that my tremoring, it didn't really develop until years later. And a lot of people will ask me, why did you keep doing it? I was getting the results. I was getting clearer with myself. I was sleeping better. I was worrying a lot less. And so that's how I got hooked, is just how it made me feel throughout the whole, yeah, that whole year while I was traveling. It just really changed things.
Yeah. And you've done quite a few programs now. Like, the program is about a year program, 10 to 12 months, longer sometimes. And what would you say, like, are the greatest shifts that you see in people, like when you kind of meet them week after or bi-weekly or every third week for that long period of time?
Yeah. Well, going back to something Sarah was saying about, we don't even know we're supposed to feel good. Like, we, you know, and it's true. It's like, it's, but I think it comes down to feeling not deserving. Because in my view, some of the biggest self-conditioning that we're experiencing, or the biggest maybe barriers, are not feeling good enough. Mm-hmm. It comes down to self-worth, because that all comes down to safety, which is nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. We're in protection. So we're trying to prove ourselves. We're trying to, you know, get permission and get approval and do all of these things. So in the end, I think most trainees and clients we've had, that is really at the core, is that the confidence and the self-care, because I also see grounding as self-care, because grounding is recognizing the small things I need and giving them to my, which seems so simple. The mind just takes that and says, ah, that's not going to work. That's way too simple. But that's where it's at. And so I would say most trainees, in the end, that's really, it's different forms of it, but it's really just knowing their self-worth, that they deserve self-care. And then, of course, because we feel that way about ourselves, then people start, you know, treating us better, and we start changing our work. Everything starts changing. So, and I think most trainees would say it's life-changing. And yeah. I guess when we're talking about those core patterns of low self-esteem, when that starts to change, big changes, yeah, yes.
Yeah, it's a very, very deep tool. And combining it with the grounding, it just becomes, I mean, that's why I asked the question that if it's unique that you combine the TRE with grounding this way, because for me TRE is grounding. So I'm like, so yeah. What is it the others do?
Yeah, well,
maybe they just don't add it. It's just, I mean, just learning the tool.
Yeah, like polyvagal theory, by Stephen Porges. David Burchelli, the founder of TRE, he found out about Porges just, I think, maybe a year or two before I started my own training to become a TRE provider. When he learned about the polyvagal theory, he went, wow, okay, we're putting that into the training program, because it really, one, gives us a language to talk about the nervous system and our own nervous system, And it also really says, shows us the difference between being relaxed and grounded and relaxed and ungrounded, which is like more in that freeze state. So when I went through the training program myself, as a provider, I still taught about grounding and I was experimenting with it more and more myself. But when I became a trainer, then, you know how it is, right? When you start teaching something, that's when it really makes you feel into, okay, what is this? And so, like I said in the beginning, I'm a very practical and pragmatic person. So I took that polyvagal theory and I did a lot more than just teach it as knowledge.
Yeah,
I really began to use it for myself. Yeah. And then, of course, when I saw the results, because my background is very low self-esteem, feeling very small, feeling like there's something very wrong with me, that I should be like the others. All of that was, I know that's common. And that's, like I was saying, I think that's the main ones most people deal with. But it was quite strong. And so when I saw that I was finally not identifying as much with that, then that's when I knew that this was really important to have part of the training program. Mm. Because the more confident and safe we feel within ourselves, then the more we can have our clients experience that. So I think that's why it became so important for me. It's just I was doing it for myself, and I was seeing results that I never thought I would ever experience. Mm. And then I started seeing what happens to people around me.
Yeah.
As you both know, as many people know now, like it's just what used to be so problematic and so intense and so... It just doesn't need to be anymore. So, yeah. So yeah, I think just practicing it for myself is really what, you know, not having a choice, but to really make it a big part of the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still teaching TRE?
Not so much to clients anymore. Sometimes if somebody happens to be kind of in my area or it kind of just happens in that way. But most of the time I refer on my clients who contact me to you guys and to other providers also. And right now I'm still training, yes. But I feel a change coming on, at least a break from it for a while. It's been 7 years already. So, but I think this you know, grounding piece for me is really... Yeah, it's really blossoming. So, yeah, let's see.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. I really like the concept you were teaching many times, that grounding doesn't necessarily mean that I'm just sitting meditating on a mountain in this nice lotus position.
Yes,
I can still be really agitated and have like fire going on inside of me. But it's the space to recognize that's what I'm feeling and sensing.
Yes.
And still having a little bit of space and clarity on what actions I need to do to kind of be here and still move forward, because you're still going to feel stressed. It's not going to disappear completely.
Yes.
But you have some more freedom what to do when you experience this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear from people. They're like, oh, I want to be calm like you. And I'm like, well, you don't know me. I'm not calm. Yes, I'm not calm all the time, but it's what I can do, or anyone, not me particularly, mm-hmm. it's what you can do with it that is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I think maybe in the beginning, you know, if we're just starting to hear about this and there's a pull, that maybe there's something here that is going to help me feel more free, that maybe then we really have to be still to connect and to experience it. But I think ultimately, that we can even be at a wild party and we can, you know, be really crazy. But if we're aware of it and we're still grounded, or angry and still grounded, as you're saying, Simba, I totally agree with that. I think that's really being grounded, isn't it? It's really being in whatever emotional state with awareness. I see kind of grounding as two-pronged. That one is kind of like a maintenance grounding, that's sitting still every once in a while, not with expectation, not with mind stuff and trying to create and going off somewhere, but just rediscovering, if I'm not all these thoughts and this identity, who am I? So it's kind of a mixture of doing that really helps us in whenever the moments come. That's the second prong. So when that real big moment comes, that trigger is on, the trauma body, the identification like blows, it's going to be different now because of the maintenance, because of paying more attention to when I'm cold, when I need to use the bathroom, and when I'm hungry, and when I'm about to eat a little bit too much, and when I need to get out and talk to someone, and when I need to be quiet. It's all those little things. That kind of maintenance grounding then when we're in TRE or whatever other practices. Enlightenment to me is in that moment of explosion, the fire that you called it, Simba, that there's at least a bit of awareness there. That to me is enlightenment. That's where it's at.
That was some great final words, I feel. We're coming up to an hour almost. But before we let you go, if people are interested in doing TRE, should we maybe hand them over to Simba then?
Yes. Yeah,
we have an online session on Wednesdays, 2:30 Bangkok time. If people are interested in doing like single classes
of TRE,
group
class,
group class of TRE. And if they want to become providers, then they can look out for Simba offering more provider trainings coming up this year.
Yeah, I'm still. Learning and in the program.
There we go. I lost you for a little bit, but just getting you now, so I missed that. Sorry.
Oh, no, I said that we have the open classes, the TRE group classes online. If people want to join sessions, group sessions, and if they want to become providers, they can stay tuned for more information from Simba. As he,
great,
yeah, whatever he has coming up in the future.
Yes,
absolutely. As he is training to be the TRE teacher trainer, and it's part of our Living with the Spirit Academy. So the TRE is the ultimate foundation of our academy. That's like the first step that one, as it's the foundation of what we do. There you are back. Seems like we almost lost you again. All right. Any final words from anyone? Any comments? Any questions?
No, I feel quite grounded.
Very good. Thank you so much, Laurie. It feels like you're going in and out a little bit.
Yes.
If you can't hear us, okay, so then let's take this time. And thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate everything that you have done. Yeah. You have always been like a big part in our healing journey and the Living with the Spirit as a place and introducing the grounding in the way that you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very grateful for that as it's one of the base things that we live by and teach and all of it. So thank you so much for that.
My absolute privilege. Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to talk and share with you. All the best to you, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, lots of love to you and Casper.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.